In the name of Jesus, amen. People supposedly following God, lamenting the blessings of their secular life, lamenting the loss of their secular comforts and secular freedoms and all the things that the world promises when they believe God is letting them down. We all know there is nothing new under the sun. God is very clear about this. And nobody disputes this, or they shouldn't, but wow, it's almost scary how much overlap there is between the Old Testament Israelites and us today. We have no bread. We hate the bread we do have. That right there is a sermon for the 21st century America. Well, before you get ahead of yourself, ask yourself, why did God send those fiery serpents? More importantly, did God send those fiery serpents simply to destroy the wicked? In a word, no. God sent fiery serpents in order to wake up foolish sinners up from their sinful stupor. God sent fiery serpents in order to bring about repentance. He didn't desire their deaths any more than he desires the death of any man. He desired that all would turn away, repent, and be faced towards him. Well, it sort of worked out. Those folks woke up real quick. We have sinned. Pray to the Lord that he would take these serpents away from us. Sounds familiar. Moses prayed. These same sorts of prayers have been offered up with great fervor over these past several months. Lord, take this plague, this pandemic away from us. But what was God's response? Well, to Moses' prayer, we see, answer, not what the people asked for or wanted, to be sure. God heard their cries and he answered their prayers. He just didn't do it the way they wanted. We'll get to John in a second here. You see, these people in their selfish panic were looking no further than this one single symptom of sin that was manifesting itself in their daily lives, and that's pretty much what it was, the single symptom of sin. They wanted that one symptom to immediately be treated and done away with. Man, we had bread galore in Egypt, remember that? We were doing good. We were living high off the hog in Egypt. There was bread as far as the eye could see, meat in pots. Egyptians being relatively, well, they weren't being that nice to us, but still we're willing to overlook it. We love how our brains try to tell us in times of trouble how this bad stuff wasn't so bad. But now they are walking with God. They see here that things were so much better before we had to suffer a little bit. The comforts of the world were taken away, and the comfort of God was insufficient, wasn't it? They were not happy with the comfort that he offered, namely being in his presence, literally being led by him. And there's so much we could be saying on this. These are people who are being brought with God, being taken and being led, and all they can do is go, hey, you guys remember when we were slaves and it was amazing? How amazing it was to be slaves and to be fed like good pets in a cage. And God is like, I set you free and you long for the cage. And so the fact that people's act of looking didn't contribute to their salvation when there were serpents any more than it contributed to their salvation when they grabbed all little extra bread. Moses said don't, but they did. Well, you know, we got to get mine. I want to make sure that the people over there don't get all of this manna. And then, of course, do we remember what happened? It rotted. Worms came and ate it because God said, it's not for you. Just take what you need. and need what you take. Sounds like our parents, doesn't it? Well, the terms overlap. We see that is why, in fact, the gospel lesson for today is paired with this reading. We see now that Jesus is here, and what is he doing? He's finding people. He's leading them. God is leading people once again, and then he points out, this is what's kind of fun. Well, I guess it's fun if you're a pastor or nerd or something, but he's finding these people have been listening to him, they've been preaching to them, and what he does is he finds that they are hungry, and he tells Philip, okay, run into town and go buy some bread. I'm sorry, that makes me laugh, because Philip's going, are you kidding? There's 5,000 men alone. 200 denarii, 200 days worth of labor is going to give enough to where maybe they might get a little taste. And so what Jesus has done is established the fact that the human, the secular world is not going to take care of them again. The secular world can't even offer them what they're needing for their bodies. He's been feeding their souls. And they go, hey, we found this boy with this 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what is that for so many? Because it's a lot less than 200 denarii worth of bread. And Jesus is going, oh, is it something? Are you finding that what he has is insufficient for what you need? It's a wonderful day to take stock in the goodness of God. Because whether it is a bronze statue, which seems bizarre, whether it is manna, which is this word that we have, that we use to describe what this stuff was on the ground that looked like snow, and quail that magically showed up. If you ever hunted quail, you know they don't just go, hey, what's up? They're elusive. So you see this providing for by God, this amazing providing for by God, and these people are just not really into it entirely. Well, it's not as good as Egypt, but I better double up on it, even though he told me not to. I'm having a hard time believing what you are saying, God. I'm having a hard time on understanding what you actually want from me, God. And then Jesus comes and takes what they all have determined by their many councils and everything to determine, this kid doesn't have enough food for us. And Jesus is going, And then he says, give it to me. He gives thanks to God for this, and then he passes it out, and then everybody is fed. Shouldn't we marvel at God taking the simple things instead of looking for the big things? Because remember, they were saying, the Egyptians gave us these large baskets of food and meat, and they were so impressive. And then they were looking and saying, this boy has got nothing. No way can we feed. We're going to die if we rely on this boy. And I bet Jesus would say, you're right. You are going to die if you rely on this boy as your savior. But that's never how it works. So he gave thanks. He breaks it, gives it to them, and tells them to distribute it. And they not only feed to their fill, there's actually leftover, isn't there? There was even room for more grace than they even thought they needed. There was room for more than they thought they even had. They picked it up, and it took 12 of them to pick up what was simply leftover grace, which brings us back to even the woman who they said, she's a dog, get rid of her. And she says, yes, but even the dogs will eat the scraps that fall from the master's table, right? And then we find out the scraps is enough to feed a whole bunch more. All of these pictures we're seeing in the Bible, All of these images that we're being given in the scriptures every week is pointing us who exactly Jesus is for. We get pictures of people who even the apostles themselves went, oh yeah, Jesus is great. I mean, not for her. She's ugh. And Jesus is going, no, actually, yes. It's kind of a remarkable thing when Jesus comes around with simple things and saves the day, changes the whole concern of we are being fed spiritually and physically here today. And then what do? They forgot kind of what he was saying, and now they're going to steal him away and make him bread king. This guy's going to feed us every day. So no matter what, when we are faced with the good news of Jesus Christ, we're not to be surprised when fallen and broken people take it and sort of run in the wrong direction. But look around. We have our own sets of challenges today. We have our own sets of struggles. We have our own sets of worries. To my knowledge, none of us live near the desert. To my knowledge, none of us are walking across it with a pillar of fire. So that's not our thing. But all of us, and don't forget this, all of us are being led by God. All of us have all been given the same gospel, the same good news, whether you think you are a dog or the top dog. The truth of the matter is during these times of hardship, during these times of even the COVID pandemic, when people are feeling extremely isolated, extremely worried, extremely fearful, that the exact same God is the one saying, I know your bravery level isn't enough. You need me. Even if COVID went away, we still have not wiped out the deadly serpents, the deadly starvation of sin, death, and the power of the devil. They're still all around us, and they have been ever since the fall into sin. And they will be until Christ returns in all glory and mercifully puts an end to this. How did we deal with the fact that we were mortal before COVID? Day by day. Word of God by word of God. Every day. So don't be deceived. You always need Christ. And that's just it. He has promised to ever and always abide in you, giving you life abundantly in him through his word and through his sacraments. That is, through his very word and promise of life, which he attaches to simple words and water and bread and wine. The washing of regeneration, the true body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Folks, here is Christ, right here, right where he tells you to seek him, to hold fast to him, and to live. Now, are these ordinary, unassuming things supernatural in and of themselves? Does our faith add the missing portion of life as if Christ's gift of life in word and sacrament are somehow incomplete without our gift and our additions? God does his part and now you do yours? I hope not. Otherwise, you need to come to Bible study a lot more. Does the rest of the world think we're foolish? Absolutely. Because here we are, saying, you know what, I understand how dangerous a pandemic can be. I also understand how dangerous driving on the freeway is. All of them, no matter what is going on, I do in the light of my salvation through Jesus Christ and love of my neighbor. It's remarkable. Absolutely, even though they think we're crazy, many a good Christians kind of wanted to get rid of these. Basically cancel out because they saw there was a potential scary event, but also they're not even listening. But this is God's eternal word and promise of life and salvation and forgiveness, the very word of God made flesh and hung on a cross to die for the whole world, and the very word made flesh who continues to abide in you every single day, to look upon with his eyes of faith here and in the midst of death and have life. As we day by day consider all of the evil of the world that faces us, and we do, let's remember these fallen, broken, dysfunctional, weird, strange people we read about in the Bible all the time. They didn't do it right, but God did. They didn't do everything exactly according to what God said to do, but he would go, get over there. Because he is our shepherd and our good leader. He is our king and our God. And may you ever be found to be walking with him in repentant faith as we pray every Sunday. That is, may you ever listen to, look to, flee to, and hold fast to your Emmanuel, God with us, your Lord of life in your very midst. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.